Greetings again, my dear sisters and brothers of the human family. My dear sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. And today's recording date is Sunday, May the 22nd, 2011. And 11. Well, we're still here, sisters and brothers. We ain't going nowhere. So, we better resurrect and rapture spiritually, mentally, morally, and physically, and stand up for equal rights and justice, and stand up for the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed, and deliver the oppressed as Christ would have us to do, manifesting in our person. Now, I want to talk about a few more issues before we get to the book of Revelation. Yet dealing with some current affairs and current issues. Documents. FBI raids stemmed from Colombia visit. Probe targets six states. More details have emerged in the FBI raids and grand jury cases targeting peace activists nationwide. FBI documents mistakenly left at the home of one targeted activist suggest the probes began after peace activists returned from a visit to Colombia to criticize the U.S.-backed militarization of the conflict there. The documents also indicate the investigations have spread to six states, more than the three currently known of Illinois, Michigan, and Minnesota. The home of a L.A. peace activist was reportedly searched this week. So, sisters and brothers, in the age of Obama, the FBI is yet doing the wickedness that it has been doing since its wicked inception as the, Operation Special Services or Organization of Special Services. I forget the first name that it went under, but it was the OSS, Operation of Special Services. And J. Edgar Hoover began his career by destroying Marcus Garvey. So from that time to now, they've been doing wickedness and committing wicked acts of intimidation, fear-mongering, and assassinating of leaders and so on and so forth. And so even now, some sisters and brothers went to Colombia and criticized America for what America is doing, the United States of North American Empire is doing in Colombia, the same wickedness that she does all over the earth. And so because these activists wanted to speak the truth concerning America's foreign policy, now they are being targeted in this age of Obama. You can't, President Obama, say you love people anywhere on the planet, and your FBI is targeting activists and harassing activists. The Most High Mother Holy Spirit is the one that caused that FBI agent to drop a document mistakenly left at the home of one of the activists so we could know the truth. Tennessee State House approves teachers' unions curbs. The Tennessee State House has approved a measure stripping teachers' unions of all collective bargaining rights except for issues around salary and benefits. The same wickedness that was going on or is going on in Wisconsin. The same wickedness. Now we see Tennessee following suit. But the root problem is not even the Koch brothers. Some of us just dwell on the Koch brothers and Republicans or the Soros and the Democrats. The problem is this rotten synagogue of Satan that we've been talking about for such a very long time. The Rothschilds controlling the banks and the world's economy, and the Oppenheimers controlling all the resource corporations. and the 1%, 2% wicked ruling class that they are members of are dictating to governments all over the earth and state governments and local municipalities to crush the people and take those monies for the people and funnel them up to the ruling class and ruling families. That is the root problem. And so we, with the mind of Christ, we elevating and rapturing our minds into the mentality of Christ will unite and break their power. Al-Qaeda, UNAR. Al-Qaeda unveils interim leader, releases bin Laden tape. Sisters and brothers, this is such a CIA operation that is not even funny anymore. So now Al-Qaeda has a new leader. What's his name? Saif al-Adel, interim leader following the death of Osama bin Laden. I believe he's located somewhere in Pakistan. Isn't that convenient? I want you to listen to Webster Tarpley. Webster Tarpley is going to keep you up to the date on the workings of Al-Qaeda and the tapes of Al-Qaeda and whatnot, and how this man, Saif Adel, is conveniently located in Pakistan because America is now moving the fight squarely to Pakistan. Listening to Webster Tarpley, we come to understand that that China and Russia are saying to the United States of North America, do not attack Pakistan. If you do, it's going to be open warfare. China and Russia, listen, strong powers now, not no weak power, are saying do not attack Pakistan and do not take Pakistan's nuclear weapons. Pakistan, as we said, wants to make friendship with China and Russia and Iran as well. And our problem as traditional Christians in the United States of North America is that we assume that America is right no matter what, and America is not right no matter what. Matter of fact, America is rarely right. And as Stokely Carmichael said, when America tells the truth, it's because of a double lie. So we see that this Al-Qaeda man, Saif Adel, is conveniently placed in Pakistan so that Al-Qaeda can be blamed for bombings and so on and retaliations of Osama's assassination so that America can justify keeping her military there and special ops and CIA there in Pakistan, all to kill and destroy for pipeline deals and oil pipeline deals, and to attack Pakistan's sovereignty and possibly take her nuclear weapons. Well, you're waking up China and you're waking up Russia. And the Bible talks about a great army coming out of the east, and some speculate that it is China, and they assume because China is red communist that a China is devil. Well, I'm here to tell you the biggest devil on the planet is the Empire of the United States of North America. Gitmo prisoner dies of apparent suicide. So Gitmo, the Guantanamo Bay prison, is yet open. Barack Obama never did close it. This 37-year-old prisoner named Inayatullah committed suicide. 12 Afghans killed protesting deadly NATO raid. 6 U.S. soldier charged in Afghan kill team case. All of this wickedness going on. You know, there was a kill team, just a happy-go-lucky, fun killing team going on in Afghanistan, killing for sport, putting people's limbs on display. This, all of this going on right now as we speak. Gaddafi's wife and daughter flee Libya. Why? Because America wants to assassinate the Gaddafi family, chiefly Muammar Gaddafi. We're going to have to stand against this wickedness, sisters and brothers. We have to stand against this wickedness. Now let us go ahead to the book of Revelation. We're in the book of Revelation. We have gotten to chapter 2, verse 10 in the book of Revelation. And we talked last time, and what we're doing is we're going through these seven letters in Revelation to the seven churches, and we are looking at these seven letters to the seven churches as being prophetic concerning the black man and woman in the Americas. We, the black man and woman, fulfill that which is written of in the scriptures concerning the African Hebrew Israelite nation and concerning the church. And so these seven letters, if you examine them, give us a look into the characteristics of the black church. The theme is to return to your first love. That's the theme of the first part of Revelation to the church. What is your first love? There were many people would say Jesus. Well, what does that mean? People don't know. Examine the definition of Jesus, coming from Jesus in Latin, coming from Jesus in Greek, but coming originally from the African Hebrew Yahshua. When you examine Yahshua, which means immediately salvation or Yahweh saves, but examine the words above and below in your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, Yesha, and other related words that make up Yahshua, you will come to understand that it means liberty and deliverance and health and wealth. You can say freedom, justice, and equality. That is our first love. Remember, sisters and brothers, when you first got saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, remember how you didn't want to harm even a fly. You didn't even want to harm a flea. You didn't want to harm your brother or your sister. Well, how could we grow in salvation and then support America killing people all over the earth? Return to your first love, black church. Return to your first love. Remember how we were front and foremost in the civil and human rights struggle. Remember how churches were used to coordinate meetings with the SCLC, Southern Christian Leadership Conference, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, the Council on Religious Equality, I think that's the name of that group that forms the acronym CORE. Remember the movement. Remember how we helped to organize the struggle and went into the streets and stood up against Satan and stood up against the synagogue of Satan and stood against warfare and bloodshed. Remember those days. Remember how all through our history there was always a portion of our church that stood for freedom, justice, and equality. So return to your first love, black church. So now, we're dealing with Smyrna, I believe. The letter to Smyrna. And we've gotten down to verse 10 of chapter 2 in the book of Revelation. And Jesus, justice, when you hear Jesus talking, you're talking of justice. So justice is telling us, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Because when you stand up for equal rights and justice, when you stand up against the synagogue of Satan, when you stand up against those Jews who say they are Jews, but really are not Jews, but are blasphemous, and they are of the house of Satan. When you stand against the synagogue of Satan, you're going to suffer. And so Jesus is telling us, Yahshua is telling us, justice is telling us not to fear. Now, when you look at 9-1-1 and Osama and all of that drama, all of this is to cause us to continue to fear so that we may be maneuvered into supporting idolatry, which is covetousness and which is consumerism and materialism and warfare and bloodshed, because everything you buy at the store, everything you purchase at any store you go to, got there by bloodshed and warfare. So what will you do? Do I say cease to purchase items? No. What I do say is, let us organize and make it so that people do not have to die and be exploited and enslaved so that we may purchase consumer items and consumer goods. So all of this 9-1-1, all of this fear-mongering is to cause us to continue to support wicked plans. And so the tactic of fear is used so that we may keep our mouths shut. Jesus is telling us not to fear. Don't fear the things you shall suffer. Don't fear the things that you will go through. That word suffer, found under the number 3958, pasco, is the Greek word, undergo. Don't fear that which you will undergo. Don't fear that which will affect you. Affected is another word. Don't fear that which you will experience, or we will experience. Fear is a tactic. So the Most High in the Bible says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. I'm paraphrasing that scripture. But the point is, the spirit of fear does not come from God. The spirit of fear comes from Satan and the synagogue of Satan. And the word spirit is, in the Hebrew, is feminine. The Greeks changed it, neutered it, and gave you a word, pneuma. In the Greek, we'll get to that in detail later. Neutered the Holy Spirit. And then the Romans, after the Holy Spirit was made in it, made then that it a he. So they transgendered the Holy Spirit. But the word spirit in the African Hebrew is ruach. And it causes us to understand, and it is feminine. And so Holy Spirit is feminine. She's our mother. She's the womb. W-O-M-B. So when it say spirit of fear, that's the womb of fear. Spirit is equivalent to womb. W-O-M-B. When you deposit a womb, something comes to birth. Something comes forth. And so this spirit of fear is not given to us by the Most High. That spirit of fear is given to us by Satan and the synagogue of Satan. So we are told not to fear. Now, the FBI, as I said before, work to pump fear into the black church, to pump fear into the black preacher and the black pastor. The assassinations of even John F. Kennedy and Robert Kennedy, who at first were not supporters of civil rights legislation, let us be clear, but were pushed into such action by the people. If the people organize, the people can force a government leader to do right. Take a lesson. Barack Obama will never do any good, will never do right unless we organize and push him into doing great and doing good. But John F. Kennedy and Robert F. Kennedy were assassinated, CIA, FBI, the mob. And why was that done? To pump fear when their own do that which is displeasing to them. The synagogue of Satan assassinates them. And the same synagogue of Satan assassinated Dr. King and assassinated Minister Malcolm X and assassinated Medgar Evers. Why? To pump fear into us so that we would not stand for justice anymore. Pump fear into the black church so that we wouldn't stand for justice. But Jesus is telling us to stand for justice anyway and be faithful to death. In that scripture, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days, but be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And we're going to take our last break, and I will see you on the other side of the break.
I have to.
Greetings, greetings again, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, May the 22nd, 2011. Jesus is telling us not to fear. Revolutionaries, don't fear. Minister Louis Farrakhan, Nation of Islam, don't fear. Omali Yeshitela, Uhuru people, African People Socialist Party, don't fear. Jeremiah Wright, don't fear. Danny Glover, Harry Belafonte, don't fear. Randall Robinson, don't fear. All of you sisters in Cornell West, Tavis Smiley, Cynthia McKinney, don't fear. All of us, Rosa Clemente, don't fear. We who are standing up for equal rights and justice, encourage ourselves, black church, black preacher, black people, cease to fear. Black citizens in general of the United States of North America, cease to fear and stand up for equal rights and justice and stand against warfare and bloodshed. Standing up for justice anyway is Jesus, is what Jesus is telling us. Be faithful unto death. This is revolution. This is re-evolution. We who have the Spirit of Christ, we have to stand for the oppressed no matter what comes. That's what we are driven to do because we love Christ. We yet are entertaining our first love, which is justice, which is deliverance, which is liberty. Jesus tells us some of us may be cast into prison. Mumia Abu Jamal in prison. Leonard Peltier in prison. Asada Shakur in a de facto prison, exiled from the United States of North America. Plenty of Black Panthers yet in prison because they stood for justice. Jesus is giving us a prophecy concerning what we would go through. Sisters and brothers, when you read scripture, you're reading prophecy about us as the true Israel and the United States of North America Empire as the Babylon. So remember civil rights and human rights history. Dr. King and others went to jail. Plenty of activists and whatnot went to jail. Early Black African Hebrews in Rome, who were that first church. The first Christians were the African Hebrews who went into Christianity, which was an extension of the ancient Hebrew religion, the same thing, but you're dealing with the Greek language now rather than the Hebrew language. But the first Christians were Black African Hebrews. And this is prophecy concerning what we would go through in the West, in the Western Hemisphere. The prophecy is telling us that we will have tribulation 10 years after we stand up for equal rights and justice, after we stand for truth, justice, and righteousness. So Jesus tells them you will have tribulation. Excuse me, 10 days, not 10 years, 10 days. Days, and the word tribulation, 2347, on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. That word found under the number 2347 means pressure. When you stand up for equal rights and justice, you will feel pressure. The FBI will put pressure on you. The CIA will put pressure on you. You see, this Bible is political. This Bible is giving you a not only spiritual analysis, but a political analysis. But that political analysis is rooted in spiritual truth and spiritual reality. So the pressure comes from the synagogue of Satan. The pressure comes from those. This is Bible. I'm only quoting scripture, quoting the book. So if you don't like what's being quoted, I guess you might have to close up the Bible. But Jesus talked about the Jews who say they are Jews but are not Jews. They are blasphemers. They're the synagogue of Satan. That's where the pressure is coming from when you stand up to break their power. The word tribulation also means afflicted. They will afflict you. They will arrest you, throw you in jail, harass you, attempt to even kill you. But look, either we are Christians or we're not Christians. Either we're going to stand for the oppressed and work and organize together or get up off of it. But the affliction comes from the synagogue of Satan. Anguish. You're going to feel anguish. Anguish, what? Pain and uncertainty because of what the CIA and the FBI and the powers that be, even on a level of such, say, teachers, say, church members, say, friends and whatnot. When you start talking like this, even your friends will turn on you. Your friends would talk about you, and you may feel anguish because you're being rejected and feel pressure from those who are supposed to be your friends who don't understand you, who may tell you that you're crazy, who tell you that you're wasting time standing up on behalf of the oppressed and working and organizing. But you have to do it anyway. You have to push past. We have to push past that feeling of anguish. You may feel burdened. Is a burden on your shoulder when you stand up for equal rights and justice. Jesus said, cast your cares on him. His burden is easy. His burden is light, or his burden is easy. What he's talking about there is stop slaving for the slave master. That burden, yoke is, the scripture says, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. It is hard to work for the slave master, but it is easy to work for Jesus the Messiah on behalf of the Most High Father and the Most High Mother, Yahweh Allah Nyame. But when you stand up for justice, it's easy working on behalf of the Most High and easy and pleasurable to work on behalf of the oppressed. But there is a burden that comes from the powers that be because you're working to oppose those who have implemented a wicked system. When you look at all the millions of peoples being killed and destroyed through warfare and bloodshed, that is the persecution of the poor. That is the persecution that God comes to alleviate and destroy that persecution. And when you teach like this, there's a burden that comes on your shoulder. Not from God, not from the Most High, but from the wicked powers. Persecution. You'll be persecuted. Look at Dr. King. Look at Minister Malcolm X. Look at Elijah Muhammad. Look at Noble Drew Ali. Look at Gabrielle Prosser. Look at Fannie Lou Hamer. Look at Sojourner Truth and Harriet Tubman, how they faced persecution. The next word is tribulation and trouble. You feel like you're in trouble. You seem to be in trouble when you properly stand up against this wicked system. That is why it is so almost comical to talk about Christians in America being persecuted by the government when you know that Christians as a group are not standing in opposition to warfare and bloodshed. Who are being persecuted? We talked about the activists earlier. People who are really standing up against this wicked system are suffering the persecution. The poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. Ah, we always say here on this program, the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. It is the poor, international. No matter your color, your race, your ethnicity, your gender, or your prescribed religion, are the afflicted. That when we rise up as we are doing to overturn this affliction, we feel pressure from the wicked powers. So the original African Christians suffered tribulation under Rome. Jesus is telling these original African Christians, you will suffer tribulation. And that is prophetic of us today. When we came through the first Reconstruction era and had gains in government position, then came the 1877 compromise between the North and the South. They call it the Hayes-Tilden Compromise. Under that compromise, the South wanted a president. The North wanted a president. The North said to the South, let us seat our president and we'll allow the Ku Klux Klan to ride free and you can take the South back. And so our people began to be persecuted and suffered tribulation and lynchings and murderings and so on, fulfilling the scripture, fulfilling what we're reading about, suffered jail, suffered de facto slavery, being conscripted into slavery through the prison industrial complex. And so we suffered that which Jesus is talking about, not to mention Jim Crow, period, not to mention the poor people's campaigns and union uprisings and civil and human rights movements, not to mention the revolutionary movements that went on all over the earth in Africa and Asia and Central and South America. We have to be able to look at our history and look at the Bible as being prophetic of our history and find ourselves in the prophecies. This Bible is giving us a picture of current affairs if we would understand it as such. And so we are the descendants of those original African Christians who suffered tribulation under Rome. When they talk about Rome killing Christians, they don't talk about the reality that these were African people. When they talk about the last destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, that was the African temple in Jerusalem. Those were African Hebrews suffering tribulation from Rome. So, we are the Messiah people. In this, we are the true Jew. We are the true Israel. That we are that Israel that if you treat us right, you'll have good standing with the Most High. We are that Israel that if you treat us wrong, you'll have bad standing and unpleasant standing. So Elijah Muhammad told us that we are that Israel and that the problem of the black man and woman is the greatest problem in the world. And that if America did not solve that problem, then America would face a well-earned doom. D-O-O-M, doom. Elijah Muhammad sounded the warning to the government of the United States of North America and those wicked powers and wicked forces in power that continue to destroy black people in America and the Americas and darker people worldwide. And so Martin Luther King Jr., after having met with Malcolm X and met with Elijah Muhammad, began to understand those truths and said in one of his speeches that the problem of the darker people of the world is the greatest problem in the world, and if that problem was not solved, then those in power would be doomed, that this system would be doomed. And I'm thankful for such leaders who talk to each other, who transfer thoughts and ideas. And Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm X and Dr. King and those other leaders made each other better and pushed each other into greater thoughts and to greater means and methods of solving the problem. You had the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. You had the Council on Racial Equality Corps. You had SCLC, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. You had the NAACP. You had the Nation of Islam. All of them in the streets. All of them doing something to organize our people for freedom, justice, and equality. Many times they disagreed vehemently on methodology, but they never disagreed on the goal. The goal was freedom, justice, and equality. And Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm X and Dr. King, when you examine their speeches, are really talking about the kingdom of God in heaven on earth, universal kingdom of God in heaven for the whole universe, the whole human family. And so We are that Messiah people that would suffer the same as the African Hebrews, that would suffer the same as the African Christians. And it is our problem that must be solved. And this world is on its way out. This wicked world of the synagogue of Satan is doomed, is on its way out. And we are on the precipice of the New Jerusalem. We are the New Jerusalem. We are the bride of Christ, the New Jerusalem. We are the temple. That New Jerusalem, that foundation of peace will come through us. We are the foundational stones and foundational blocks for the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now on this earth. Now, says we shall suffer. When we stand up, we shall suffer. Now, there are two dispositions to this suffering. And so let us examine the word suffer in this verse to understand the two dispositions or two realities of this suffering. On the one hand, we suffer so that we may be tried. This word suffer, found under the number 3985 on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, is pirozo. It means to test. The first definition of that word is to test. Okay? Now, sisters and brothers, we're being tried. We're being tested. The Most High is using that suffering to test us, in the sense that we know that we can stand more suffering and we will not lead the revolution. We look at the suffering, we go through it, and we do not leave the revolution. The synagogue of Satan are testing us to cause us to leave the revolution. So, the next word, to scrutinize. We're being scrutinized by the synagogue of Satan, running us through all manner of tests and trials to see if we will leave the revolution. The Most High says, my children will not leave the revolution. So on the one hand, there's a trying from the Most High. Not tempting. The Most High does not tempt anyone. But the Most High will try us so that we will know that we can go through and stay with the revolution. But the synagogue of Satan, they want to try us, and they try us, and they scrutinize us to cause us to leave the revolution. That word suffer also means to entice. So the synagogue of Satan will use enticements to induce us to leave the revolution. Fame, money, fortune, a woman or a man, kind words, position. These are all methods and means that are used to entice us. See, all of these definitions are wrapped up in that word suffer that is found under the number 3985, pirozo, on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. Discipline is another one. So we are being disciplined through the suffering. We are being disciplined. All right, examine is another one. As we come through the suffering, we go through examination. And the Most High says, yes, my children are staying with the revolution. They're not leaving the revolution. I've examined them and found them worthy to prove. We are being proved. We are being proved whether we're going to stay with the revolution, stay with Christ, or go with the synagogue of Satan and fall for fame and fortune and whatnot. The other word is tempt. Now, the Most High does not tempt you. The synagogue of Satan will tempt you to see if we will leave the revolution. Tempt you with a woman or a man. Tempt you with money and so on. So all of this is wrapped up in the word suffer. But we will suffer when we stand up for equal rights and justice. But we must stay with the revolution, stay with Jesus, and stay with Christ, which is the revolution. Jah love, Jah bless. And this is the Exodus, the movement of Jah people.
Mm-hmm.